Time to get up, get out of bed. Fill your cup and get ahead with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Fan Run Radio.
Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers all raise their shirts. They are the SEC Tournament Champions. Mark will hold it, and so he! And the Volunteers will hold the trophy. SEC Tournament Champions to match their regular season title.
You know who Hendon Hooker is, returning quarterback for Tennessee, a dark horse Heisman candidate.
I haven't even said it on my own airwaves yet. I think Tennessee's going to beat Georgia this year.
Assuming it's not Alabama, it's not Georgia who wins the SEC, what other team is there that could challenge for the SEC title?
Well, I'm a little curious about Tennessee. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see if they can make that step and be a division contender.
I guess there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Win the whole thing.
Yes!
Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Sexy.
We can go when we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hats to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. This is 3 and Out. Houston Kress, Adam Hickman, intern Brett with you. Boys, it's a football Friday.
Yes, it is.
Kinda. I don't want to celebrate it too much, but it is conference championship weekend. Conference championships kick off tonight. The big one, 8 o'clock. Utah, Southern Cal, from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. The playoff picture could become a little more clear tonight. How are we feeling this morning, boys?
Cold.
Hickman, why did we start the show so late?
I don't know. I don't really think we started the show late, though.
Well, later than we have this week. Did you get caught up?
I hit the train.
You hit the train?
I didn't hit the train. I probably wouldn't be here right now if I ran into the train and hit it. But
that's not a good idea to do.
I'm going to blame you for all this.
Well, in the most shocking development of all time, it's my fault, according to Adam Hickman. I'm stunned. Why is that?
You wanted me to play those extra couple of hot keys on purpose.
I said one.
I was still ready to go sooner than we started the show.
I think like 7:07 you were ready.
7:05.
We went at like 7:07 and 20 seconds.
I think my coffee was done at 7:05.
Yeah, you didn't even say hello when you came in this morning. You just walked straight back to the coffee maker. What's that about?
I was on a mission.
All right.
Trying to be professional here.
Okay, that's fine. What is the biggest story of the day?
Let's see. Biggest story of the day.
Tennessee did put another player in the transfer portal yesterday, tight end Miles Campbell, a redshirt freshman, who I don't believe has seen the field in his time here. Recruited by Jeremy Pruitt. Did he have an injury this year and just didn't play much?
I think he did, yeah.
Well, that's a shame. But another spot opens up for one Josh Heupel and the Tennessee coaching staff to add a player via portal or recruiting. It was a pretty decent night of college basketball on the hardwood. two top 10 teams went down, including a future opponent for Tennessee, as Arizona traveled to Utah, lost 81-66. Hickman, did you watch any of that one?
The Utah game?
Yes, the game I just mentioned right before I asked you if you watched any of that one.
No, I did not, actually.
Did you watch any of Creighton, Texas?
I did. I watched all the first half, watched a little bit of the second half, and then switched over to Thursday Night Football.
Fair enough.
That was
Texas
takes
down Creighton 72-67.
That was a fun game. Did you watch it?
No.
You talk about just pretty basketball early on. They weren't really hitting their shots early, but I think they opened up that game, I don't remember what it was exactly, with like 6.5, 7 minutes straight with no whistle in the first half.
Really?
I mean, it was just up and down. Guys were missing shots, but I can tolerate that when the play is at such a steady pace like it was last night. Fun game to watch.
Texas seems like they might be the real deal. Of course, Texas figures it out in the second year of our Big 12 matchup with them. They travel to Knoxville on January 28th. Tennessee at that point, of course, going to be deadlocked in the center of their SEC slate, as will Texas in the Big 12. But, yeah, Texas currently 6-0, number two in the country, a home win over Creighton last night. And if you've watched Creighton play this year, you should know that they are also pretty damn good.
Yeah, and the
taking
thing
down Arkansas.
The thing with Texas, too, is just so many weapons. Carr, he was their leading scorer last night. You know, he kind of switches back and forth with Tyrese Hunter, who shows up and is the best guard on that team every night. They have Dylan Dessou, who was at Vanderbilt a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember that name.
He was a five-star, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was.
I don't remember that name.
Kid at Texas is a completely different ball player. He led the SEC in rebounding a couple years ago. But, I mean, other than that, didn't do much at Vanderbilt and goes to Texas and found a nice little role for himself there.
Okay, well,
their new basketball arena is incredible.
It's small, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it seats just under 11,000.
Yeah, it's like 10.5.
But when
you're seeing more of that, though.
Yeah, but when you surround the entire lower deck area, I guess you want to call it, with mainly students, it creates a rocking environment for big games.
So you're wanting to shrink Thompson Bowling Arena? Is that what you're saying?
It's not what I'm saying.
I'm pretty sure I just heard you say exactly that.
Smaller arena.
Smaller arena, good. Big arena, bad.
I mean, probably make some people mad if I said that, but, you know.
But, yo, go ahead. Come on.
But if you think about it.
It's a sports radio show. You got to give your hot takes.
If you think about it. Shrink TBA. I don't care.
You don't like having 21,000 plus for a big game like that?
It's cool, but another thing that really.
You know what ticket prices would be if we shrunk to 10,000?
I don't like going to games that much anyways.
Well, at least you're thinking about everybody else. That's good. That's always good.
And another cool thing about the Moody Center is,
oh my God! Like you're calling it the Moody. I mean, look at you. You like know everything about it.
If
you like studied the architecture.
I mean, Matthew McConaughey's the guy who designed it.
Is that why you like it?
No, I don't really like Matthew McConaughey that much.
Really?
I mean, he's cool in Interstellar and Mud, but besides that, I think his filmography is a little overrated. But when you have an arena that only seats just under 11,000 people, every game looks better on TV when more seats are filled.
Okay. Is there a student section on the backside of the screen, like when they're playing? Is it around the court or is it on the ends too?
It's around the court.
So they got the students like front row and close to the floor?
Yeah.
I do like that.
Like 270 degrees around the court.
270, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Pretty sure that's the number they said on the broadcast last night.
So three quarters of the way around the court,
yeah,
is the student section. And then right in front of the camera, on the camera side, would be rich folk.
No, right in front of the camera are students.
I'm saying like like physically in front of the camera.
Oh,
like the section right,
yeah,
underneath the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do like that, of course.
That big screen that goes around the top. Have you seen that?
No. I'm not too interested in what Texas' basketball arena looks like. Are we fortunate that we didn't have to play there last year? Is it that good of an environment?
Yeah.
Especially now that they're good?
It definitely makes a little bit of a difference. But that board that wraps around the top of the building, that's just specifically designed to deflect sound back down to the court.
Is that a Matthew McConaughey design?
Probably.
Okay.
And McConaughey said, hey, we need to give the students the best seats in the house. And so they did.
What's his exact title there? Minister of Culture?
Minister of Culture, yeah. Which, I mean, he earns it. He teaches some classes there occasionally, apparently.
What? Seriously?
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Going to?
Yeah, no kidding.
That'd actually be kind of cool. Oh, yeah, my professor, Matthew McConaughey, does he teach culture? Is it like a how to be a student fan at games?
I don't know.
Might need to look up the curriculum on that during a break or something. Last night, also, the Buffalo Bills, I don't want to say they're finding their stride, but they're continuing to kind of piece things together. They beat the Patriots 24-10. Josh Allen throws two touchdowns. Singletary runs one in. Where would you put them in your top five right now? I'm assuming everyone has the Bills right now in their top five.
Two or three.
Are they, okay. One, two, or three?
You got to think the NFL's pretty wide open this year.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that yesterday. We just really didn't have that much time because there were a bunch of other topics. This feels like a very strange year in the NFL. I mean, on paper, I guess the best team in the NFL right now is the Eagles. But does that feel like that's a sustainable plan for the Eagles this year? Like, are they Super Bowl good? Because, I mean, I don't know how you could look at – I mean, it feels like the Chiefs have obviously the firepower to figure it out. The Bills have been – they've been inconsistent, but they're one of the most talented teams in the league. They've lost a lot of players on defense to injury, but if you get some of those guys back and start, you know, piecing together the defense, I feel like the offense has the ability to score on just about everybody in the league. Chiefs, very, very good. Are you buying the Eagles hype?
Yeah, they're legit.
I have not been able to watch them play. I think I watched them play like a half of football so far this year.
I think the Bills would be about sixth on my power rankings.
Sixth?
Right now. Yes.
Wow.
I think the Eagles and Cowboys are better.
No. I never trust the Cowboys.
They have the best defense in the league by far.
They blow it every year. I'm not.
I mean, we're talking right now.
I'm not going to buy into Cowboys hype until I actually
Chiefs
see them
are
do
better,
something
right?
worth a damn.
Do you agree with that?
I don't agree with that.
I don't know. The Bills beat the Chiefs.
Bills have the
in Kansas City.
Are they the best even in their division? You take Miami over the Bills right now.
I would not take Miami over the Bills right now, but I'm not. I am high on Miami. I think they've done a really good job this year. They figured out something with Tua. They got plenty of what?
The Ravens.
They've been too inconsistent. Who did they just lose to last weekend? I know they had
they lost to the Jaguars.
Yeah, like you can't. I can't have you in the top. Two or three, if you're losing
the crazy
to
thing
the
about
Jags.
The Jaguars, they have some of the best plus minuses in football, like as far as scoring points and giving up. They just are on the wrong end. I mean,
you got to score more points than the other team. That's kind of the rule.
Yeah,
it's kind of the rule.
Who else did I see? Minnesota Vikings.
I don't.
9-2.
Any team that gets blown out.
I don't trust them. I don't trust
did.
The Vikings. That's like a. I guess Hickman doesn't trust the Cowboys. I don't trust Cowboys either. I can't trust the Vikings. It's just like depending on what time the game is how you determine which Kirk Cousins shows up. And last I checked, most playoff games and Super Bowls are played in the evening.
What about the 49ers?
Not enough offense.
Great defense though.
Maybe they'll put it together here. I mean, they got weapons on offense, but
yeah, they got McCaffrey now. He's been a really good fit. He hasn't had that explosive, you know, breakout game yet, I don't think. But it has allowed them to move Debo Samuel around a little bit more. He's not playing as much, quote-unquote, running back as he did last year. His production's gone down, but he's still a really good player. Their defense is outstanding. Brandon Ayuk, very, very good.
Juwan Jennings.
Third and Juwan, they call
it. Yep. Nice piece in that offense that they're
– I don't know if we talked about that on the air, if that was off the air. They love him.
Oh, yeah.
They love Juwan Jennings in San Francisco. He has been – I remember when he was drafted, you go and search the tweets, who the hell is Juwan Jennings? And everyone's just like, trust us, you're going to love this guy. You're going to love the way he plays the game. And what is this year? Is this year three?
Year three, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like he was doing stuff in year one, Because I think when he first got there, wasn't it between like him and Jalen Hurd as far as who gets the roster spot? And then he went from hoping to claim a roster spot to when it's late in the game and they need a third down conversion, they're going to throw it 4 yards short of the sticks to Juwan Jennings, and he's going to drag three guys across the first down line. Was it last week he caught the deflection touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's we all said it, man. That guy's just a football player.
What about the Cincinnati Bengals have started to turn things around? They're from, I mean, weren't they AFC Championship last year?
They were in the Super Bowl last year, so yeah.
Super Bowl, yeah. So.
I think the Bengals are good.
I think they're good. Offensive line's still a really big problem. Joe Burrow gets hammered a lot. It's weird because normally the team that loses the Super Bowl is the one that has kind of the hangover the next year, but it's actually been the Rams that are a joke. They are an awful, awful football team.
Jamar Chase the last 2 or 3 weeks at least, I think.
Yeah, he's been on.
Yeah, he's going to be back in
a week or two.
I think so.
Hip injury, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think the Bills.
I think Bills are fourth in their own in the conference.
They just. No.
I take Miami. I take Baltimore. I take Cincinnati.
They beat Baltimore on the road.
I would think I would take all those teams right now.
Beat Baltimore on the road. Beat the Chiefs on
the
road.
Right now.
He's still Josh Allen, though. I think your best teams in the league. The Bills are the best team, and the Bills don't win the Super Bowl. It's going to be a colossal failure. Bills, Chiefs, Eagles.
Failure?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far. It depends on probably who gets home field. I mean, I don't know who needs it more, the Bills or the Chiefs. Maybe the Bills, but then you look at what happened last year, and if overtime rules are a little bit different, that first of all, that game may never end. They may still be playing it, just going touchdown for touchdown. But it feels like if the Bills get home field, that's a very huge, no pun intended, advantage for them, just due to the atmosphere, and then obviously what weather you may get in Buffalo during that time of the year.
They certainly won't play a playoff game in Detroit.
I don't know, man. Like,
you get 6 feet of snow, you might have to.
Well, I don't think that's ever happened before, right? Like,
no.
Not due to something like that. And I'm really surprised. I totally understand it, especially when you look at, the city of Buffalo and how much resource goes into a game day. And then you're talking about how do we get fans safely to and from the stadium. Oh, by the way, we also need all of our, road clearing crews clearing actual roads to allow people to get to and from work and school and other things. So I get it. It would have been a logistical nightmare, but you would hate to see a playoff game in Buffalo move to Detroit. And that's what's so I'm assuming that's where it's going to be because Detroit's not going to be in the playoffs. Though that's going to be an open opportunity for them, assuming there's no, like a circus in town or something like that.
I think they would tell the circus to get.
Well, they did kind of. What was there? Wasn't it like an indoor carnival or something? And they were like, hey, tear this bad boy down.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what about the kids? Ah, bleep them kids. We don't care. We got a football game to play. Well, can't you play it in the snow? No. We got to get people in and out of here. Bills Mafia traveled to that game, though. Traveled well.
Yeah, how was the attendance there? Did it look good on TV, or could you tell that it was a...
It didn't feel like it was the most highly attended game. In fact, as I recall watching the game, I don't remember them showing a lot of wide crowd shots. They would zoom in on like little areas of Bills fans, but probably didn't go to the wide shots because I'm guessing the attendance was not as good as it should be. Not only because you'd have to travel to Detroit to watch a home game if you're a Buffalo fan, but also because there was 6 feet of snow in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think the Bills were the first team to win back-to-back games in Detroit in quite some time.
It's an interesting stat that I had not heard. Is that true? I'm certain it is. It's not like the Lions are winning back-to-back games in Detroit. That's wild.
They said it was the best team to play in Detroit in a couple years as well.
And they got to see him twice. Good for them. That's great. Fantastic.
Oh, if I lived in Detroit, I'd have been at both games.
Just because you're a Josh Allen fan?
Yeah. The Bills are the most fun team to watch play in the league.
What would it take to get you to live in Detroit, Hickman?
Let's see. Personal security.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Maybe a nice little house on Barbary Road.
I don't know where that's at.
It's from the movie Barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
Barbarian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
Nice little house with a good dugout basement.
Maybe in the 70s.
Yeah, the 70s. Maybe the 70s. The 70s was good. Modern Barbary Road, not that good. If you haven't seen the movie Barbarian, that's what we're referencing. I'll leave it at that because you do not want any spoilers on this movie. Don't watch a trailer. Don't look at the cast. Just go into that one blind and have a good time.
It's a horror movie with Justin Long in it, folks. That's all you need to know.
It's funny, though.
Yeah, it is.
I had laughing moments. I had the tense moments. We didn't get to talk about that. I guess enough time's passed. Again, I don't want to give away any spoilers. One of the most fun horror movies I've ever seen. If you liked Malignant, it is along those lines of just complete shock and awe with comedy mixed in. I begged Hickman to watch it, and he was texting me throughout the movie, "Oh my God." And then we get to the flip moment, if you will, and he's just like, "What the hell just happened?" I'm like, "Buddy, this is just the way this movie goes. You got to lock in." One of the best movies, especially in the horror genre, I've seen in a long time. Really enjoyed it. Speaking of the Eagles earlier, the Titans travel to Philadelphia this weekend. 1 p.m. Fox on Sunday. Hickman, do you give the Titans a shot in that one? The Eagles are 4.5-point favorite.
I mean, of course they have a shot. Do I think they'll win? Hell no.
I don't know, man. I guess we'll learn a little bit more about the Titans this weekend. This game kind of reminds me of last year when, not the same obviously, but Derrick Henry goes down, Titans have to travel to L.A., they're facing the Rams, no one gives the Titans a shot. I think that was a double-digit spread, and the Titans actually just dominated the Rams. This feels like a game where the Titans could go in, sneak up on Philadelphia, and get the win. Philadelphia coming off a game. What did they run for against the Packers? Was it 380?
Yeah, 365.
I mean, that's unbelievable in college football, let alone in the NFL. But the Titans' run defense has been pretty good. If you can slow down the Eagles' run game, especially with Jalen Hurts, I feel like I'm going to give the Titans a little bit of a shot in that one. I don't think their defense is that good. Their offense and running game has just been elite.
I see a losing streak coming for you guys looking at this game.
What is this? What's you guys?
Yeah, well, you're the Titans.
Well, I didn't know what you meant by you guys.
Sorry. Well, you got Jacksonville after that.
Wait. You're calling losing streak because we play Jacksonville after the Eagles?
I would take Jacksonville over the Titans right now.
Because they won one game?
What do you mean?
We dominate Jacksonville.
At the Chargers, I'll give you the Texans.
Thank you. Thank you for the Texans. I didn't even know the Titans played the Cowboys. That's one I'm going to be tuned 17. Into.
Yeah, Cowboys will absolutely throttle bleep them.
Where's that game being played?
Nashville.
Ooh, when's the last time? I can't remember a time I've seen the Cowboys make the trip to Nashville.
I can't either, now that I'm thinking about it. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but I don't remember watching that game.
Yeah, Nissan Stadium.
Losing streak because the Jags are coming up.
The Jags do have some weapons.
Name them. Don't say Trevor Lawrence.
Zay Jones.
Travis Etienne. Have you seen him play? He puts up
several
numbers.
Times,
he's
yes.
a really good fantasy running back. I'll give you that, or give myself
he
that.
Got hurt, though, I think.
Christian Kirk is quietly having a very great year.
Good pickup for them from the Cardinals.
A good pickup in fantasy leagues if you could have grabbed him before he blew up.
Zay Jones,
did you?
I think.
No, I didn't. I missed out on him.
Zay Jones. I think he's got about 5-6 catches a game last, I don't know, 4 or 5 games.
I mean, like, I just don't get why you
I
think
can't
the
even name
why
it
is right Jack here. How is Jacksonville good? They're 4-7. Why do you think they're so, better
than
the Titans?
Minus, though.
What is it? Doesn't it's winning games? That's how you. That's it's the NFL. They're going to be close. Everything's going to be close.
But that tells you they're close on games. Titans are like minus something.
You got to win games, man. You got to pull it out. I do think that Jacksonville's improving steadily. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the conversations. Everybody was asking Trevor Lawrence about the difference between this year and last year. I think one of his teammates was like, yeah, he never really even had a rookie year because Urban Meyer was our coach, and it was such a cluster. And then I think he went on Dan Patrick, and they asked him about it, and he was like, yeah, everybody's been asking me about that. I'm just really happy with the coaches that we have. I'm focused on this year. But, yeah, last year was kind of a mess, which isn't a surprise. By the way, with the coaching carousel, spots are being filled up. Has anyone called Urban Meyer, or is he still too hot to touch right now in college football?
I mean, Cincinnati should call him.
You said that's his alma mater, right?
Yeah, and his son goes there.
Does his son play football?
I don't think so, but...
I didn't realize he had a son. I thought he had a bunch of daughters. But I'll take your word for it.
Let's see. Urban Meyer's son, Cincinnati. Nathan Meyer.
Nathan Meyer. Urban Meyer.
His daughter,
Oscar Meyer,
plays volleyball at Florida Gulf Coast.
Interesting.
Or did play. Looks like she might be married now. Most people don't get married in college.
Good statistical analysis by Adam Hickman on the marriage status.
She was
status
born in 93.
Okay, that's good stuff.
If she's still in college, she's a dumbass.
Oh, my God. We'll take our first break of the show. When we come back, I don't know if you guys saw this last night, but Shane Beamer has decided to pop off at the mouth. And I think it's safe to say this is now going to be a game that Josh Heupel in Tennessee, if they didn't already, circle in red for the upcoming season, as he's decided to lob a couple shots. Something about coaches in South Carolina. They just love to run that mouth. We'll do that after this. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio.
Mom got drunk and Dad got drunk at a Christmas party. We were drinking champagne.
Do you have enough in the hopper today to go the full 3 hours? I will give Adam Hickman credit. He did spend a good 5 minutes yesterday after the show recording Christmas bumper music for your listening pleasure.
Yeah, we got enough.
Okay. That's good.
I'm not done adding new ones to the system, though. There's still some I need to add.
Still got some work to do. Is that the case? How many more are you going to put in, you think?
Five.
This is important, man. We got to get the Christmas spirit going.
I got 9 staring me in the face right now that are – I'm just – because what really – something that grinds my gears, you know.
It really grinds his
not
gears.
Not taking any shots at anybody. We have Christmas folders in here on this computer that if you click on – there's like 3 Christmas songs, and the rest Bear just puts random stuff in.
Are you saying that he has hijacked the Christmas folder for his own use?
Oh yeah, it's and I know it's Bear too.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm pretty sure a lot of the stuff that's
go ahead out of man, like hey, we got to get this stuff squared away. We got to get it all right before the new year.
I'm pretty sure a lot of the stuff that has overtaken what used to be some Christmas music in these folders are songs that they've used for a jam or not a jam with Tony V.
Oh. That's some good detective work there.
Yeah.
You going to text him?
No, I figured he'll do that himself. He'll text me.
Incoming, probably, in the next 5 or 10 minutes. So if he's even up, I don't know. He's been sleeping in a lot lately. We don't get the angry 6:30, 7:30 a.m. text from Bear anymore. I mean, it used to be that like, he used to call me on my way into the station and say, like, you guys better have a good show. It's like, but man, get out of my morning routine here, please. Yesterday, South Carolina's official football Twitter account tweeted out that Shane Beamer is going to be a big part of Saturday's SEC championship coverage on the SEC network. He will be on Marty McGee apparently for an entire hour, must miss. That's 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Then he's going to be on SEC Nation for an hour and a half. That's 1 p.m. to 2:30. Jeff Capps, Tennessee fan, replied saying, I would rather listen to my wife's fingernails on a chalkboard. And then things got interesting because Shane Beamer, that's the SEC coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, the head coach, replies to a fan of another school and says, does that mean you won't be tuning in, Jeff? Then a couple of emojis because Shane Beamer's a child. I was wondering where all the Tennessee fans were that lived in my Twitter mentions for the last year. Haven't heard from you guys in a couple of weeks. Welcome back. Good luck in your bowl game. First of all, bad look by Shane Beamer. Second, I'm going to be honest, we kind of just have to take it, don't we? We don't really have – I mean, I've said it for absolute years. You win, you get to talk. You lose, you got to take it. Especially the way they won, the way we played, they get to talk smack, and they're going to do it. I just would like it if their head coach would not do it on Twitter. Maybe that's just me. Any thoughts on Shane Beamer popping off on Twitter at a random Tennessee fan too? Just a guy who's like, I don't want to watch Shane Beamer on the SEC network.
It's so weird that we have to deal with this now. I know Spurrier used to run his mouth, but
not on Twitter.
Yeah, not on Twitter. Not directly at opposing fans. You think Nick Saban, Brian Kelly?
Nick Saban doesn't even have a computer. I know. Man. He does. It's just to watch game film. Probably doesn't even have internet.
Like, I got killed by some South Carolina fans last night, and I didn't.
They were in my mentions all night long. I woke up to over, because it stops at 20 on your app. It said 20 plus notifications. I'm like, oh man, I wonder if some news broke or something. Nope, just South Carolina fans. Literally, all they would reply was the fact that they scored 63 points. It was just all these people replying 63, 63, 63, 63. I'm like, yeah, man, we got it.
It's like I said, it was a deserving response. It was kind of funny. But I just don't think I would ever want my college football coach to be focusing on the outside noise on Twitter, all places.
Also, why? Like,
it's one thing if you're clapping back at a journalist or somebody or a reporter,
right? Like Kiffin did, yeah. Right? And that makes perfect sense. Kiffin, you know, he's trying to get a team ready for the Egg Bowl, and he's got a reporter out there saying that he's gone to Auburn. It's basically a done deal. He's saying, no, that's not true. I don't know who your sources are. And it's Lane Kiffin, who tweets all the time. I've never seen Shane Beamer have an interaction on Twitter. You know, it's normally the typical coach tweets of, you know, go Gamecocks when they get a recruit or something like that. This is not a great look. But Lane Kiffin's known to be on Twitter, so it makes a little bit more sense from him. He'll tweet funny videos and make jokes about Alabama or Tennessee and kind of himself, honestly. It's kind of a shtick, and I actually kind of like it. But with Beamer, again, like we earned it. He earned it, I guess. He earned the right to get to do this. But I'm with you, Hickman. I don't want my head coach tweeting at other fans trying to do the victory lap 2 weeks later. And I'm guessing he got the SEC network gig strictly because they won their last two games. Like, if they don't beat Tennessee and Clemson, there's no way they pick Shane Beamer to be on the SEC network for the SEC championship, like, pregame, right? Like, did they call Heupel and he turned him down? Did they call Kiffin and he turned him down? Like, my question is Shane Beamer the only coach that would be like, yes, I'll totally do that? Feels like all the other coaches are like, ah, I got plenty of other stuff to do, man. Like, I don't – like, remember when Derek Dooley won our bye week, I think? He went and he was on, like, the CBS panel. It's like, hey, buddy, don't you have other things you can be doing on your bye week? Like, oh, I don't know, coaching your football team, traveling to recruit, getting some stuff done, scouting in the office. I mean, they're 8-4. They got a big bowl game coming up. What are you doing? The early signing period starts in, like, 2 weeks, bro. Get on your horse. Get some work done. Let's go to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Get Matt in here. If you want to join us this morning, it's 865-546-8200. We'll take phone calls all morning long if you guys have anything you want to get off your chest. Good morning, Matt.
You're damn right you'll take phone calls all morning long.
Just for you, buddy.
Hi, guys. I can't stand – hate's a strong word, but I just very much dislike Shane Beamer. For two reasons. One, I just think he's a product of his name. And two, he just reminds me of Butch Jones, but probably slightly smarter.
I do think he's slightly smarter. I definitely think he is a born-on-third type coach. Everywhere he's been, though, Matt, I'll give him credit. I don't like him because he's a goober, but apparently everywhere he's been, everyone just loves the guy. Like, I think he's a good dude for the most part. Although he was caught up in that scandal at Wake Forest where the radio guy was giving other teams plays, and he was on the phone with that guy like an hour the night before they played Wake Forest when he was at Virginia Tech, I think. So maybe he's not the quote-unquote cleanest coach in the world, but everyone says he's a pretty nice guy.
Yeah, I think he's probably not a bad dude. They just caught Tennessee at our – it's. They won the game, and you're right. We can't talk any trash back, but we just played like the worst game we could have played. It's the worst game I've ever seen Tennessee play, dude, ever. That was a horrible game.
Have you guys seen
a worse performance? I might have maybe a couple of those Butch Jones games later in the tenure, but that was.
But you didn't get. I don't think you got beat like that when you had that much on the line, right? Like the last year of Butch Jones, like the writing was kind of on the wall. That's why I wanted him rolled after the end of 2016. Like you knew 2017 was going to be bad.
After that Georgia game.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a good team with an opportunity to make the college football playoff. And I mean, I realize now, like looking back, obviously there was some drama that week and Jeremy Banks didn't travel. I did not in a million years expect 63-38. Like I would have said like I'll take the bullet because there's no way that happens.
No, nobody would have thought that. They caught lightning in a bottle, man. That's all it was. Next year, when they come here to our house, we are going to whoop their asses, dude. It's going to be, especially now that he's talking trash. All this stuff, you guys know how it works. Next year, the week of the game, all this stuff's going to be brought back up. Tennessee's going to be rolling. South Carolina's already going to have a couple of losses. We're going to be furious. We'll hammer them by four touchdowns, guys, and get redemption. And hopefully,
I want more than four. I want 70, Matt. Like, I want 70 points on the board. And if they can claw their way to, you know, 21, 24, 28, something like that. But whatever we did to Missouri this year, more. I want more. I don't care how you do it, Heupel. But, like, after this little clapback on Twitter and what they took away from us, and then again, I'm with you. A lot of that's our fault. But what happened at South Carolina, like, I want to beat them. I want him to want to quit coaching after that game next year.
Yeah, I do too. It's weird, guys. Don't y'all think that you're going to see more of this? And not just that we lost to South Carolina this year, because we lost. I mean, it is what it is. We played bad and they won. I give them credit for that win. It is what it is. But the way this transfer portal thing's working, and we're still kind of in the early stages of it, right? But you're not. This might be the last time you see these 12-0 teams at the top of the board. Maybe one more year of it. But I think, don't you guys? I mean, you guys.
You just mean undefeated teams in general?
Yeah. You're going to see a lot of 1-2-loss teams now, just especially in the SEC, which could hurt the SEC in the future because you're adding Texas and Oklahoma, and you're just going to have a mosh pit of teams beating up on each other. It's going to be nearly impossible to go undefeated now.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Especially with the teams you're adding, the new scheduling where you're going to play, you know, hopefully everybody twice in a 4-year period, like it's going to be a lot different. And I totally agree with you. I do think the SEC will go to 9, so I don't think you'll have as big of out of conference games. So that's a game you're probably not going to have a chance to lose. You know, like obviously when we played Oklahoma and at Pitt, I think they'll try to schedule some. A little bit lesser, like one lesser out-of-conference opponent, and then obviously two just absolute cupcakes, hopefully, unless you're Jeremy Pruitt.
Doesn't that hurt us worse, though, the SEC as a whole? Because you can't compare and say if Alabama or Tennessee plays an out-of-conference opponent, say you play like a Pittsburgh and you beat them by 40, you just show your dominance over the other conferences.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not playing that and you're just beating up on each other, these pundits, you know, your Kirk Herbstreits and these guys are going to just – clamor for the Big Ten. What's going to happen?
Well, remember, they're adding USC and UCLA also. So, like, that's going to happen to them too. Because I think they're going to have to adjust their schedule. Because you look at the schedules in the Big Ten right now, and it's Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan are all in the same division. Like, which is the weirdest thing ever. It's like whoever wins the division is almost guaranteed the conference championship because the other side has been so bad for so long. I think once they adjust their schedule, it's going to be the same thing. The interesting thing is going to be the Big 12 and the Pac-12 or whatever numbers they end up going with once they get everything settled, because those are going to be a lot weaker conferences. It's going to be easier for those schools to go undefeated, the good teams in those conferences. It's going to probably take something like a 2-loss team, Matt, making the playoff at, you know, and once it goes to 12, I think that helps because you're still going to get some teams in. But if a 2-loss SEC team makes it to the college football playoff and dominates teams from the Pac-12 and Big 12, and wins a national championship, it probably has to happen one time, and then everyone will say, oh, no, the SEC is still really, really good, top to bottom. They're just beating up on themselves, but they're still the best, you know, conference in football.
I'll get out of here. It's, and I agree with you 100%. It's weird on how the losses this year with Tennessee affected us way worse than I've ever seen before in a playoff. Like, that it's almost like that LSU game doesn't even matter at this point. The fact that we blew out what could possibly be the SEC champions. Even if they win, say LSU wins Saturday, it still doesn't help Tennessee at all, and we blitz them at their own place. We won't even jump Alabama. It blows my mind. Like, wins don't count this year.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
It's all about close losses, and we didn't have a close enough loss. I agree completely. Thanks for the call, Matt. We'll hit our last break of the first hour. Come back. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio.
Christmas, the only Christmas for me, where the love circles around us like the gifts beneath our tree.
Final segment, hour number one, 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Has this ever happened before? And again, I haven't paid as much attention to the college football playoff basically since its inception, because Tennessee hasn't been in the hunt and in the mix, so to speak. But when a close loss to LSU by Alabama gives them more credit than Tennessee absolutely blitzing LSU on the road, what are we doing here?
There's something wrong with the system at this point. And I'm sure it happens every year, but we just have never had to look into it so much.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I've never seen, like, their five-step criteria as far as why one team should be ranked ahead of another based on, you know, oh, the records are the same. Well, let's go common opponent, head-to-head, all this other stuff. But when Tennessee wins every single category and is still one spot behind Alabama, a team they beat and slaughtered a team that also beat them, it just makes no sense how they try to justify this basically at every turn. Meanwhile, Florida State gets the one bump nod over LSU because they won by a single point in the first game of the year on a neutral field. It makes no sense. I've seen the excuses from Alabama fans and those that think Alabama should be ranked ahead of Tennessee. Oh, well, if that game was played on a neutral field. Oh, if that game was played in Tuscaloosa. I've had probably dozens of Alabama fans in my mentions since that game. Yeah, well, if that game's played in T-Town, you guys don't get the benefit of the officiating, and Alabama wins, and that's what the committee saw. Like, is that what we're doing? Are we saying, oh, well, it was at home for Tennessee, so they get a deduction because they won the game at home? They what the game at home? They won the game at home!
You can't rank teams off of hypothetical situations.
Especially when you have the real situation in front of you. Well, yeah, they lost the game, but we still think Alabama's the better team because they had to go on the road and it was a close. Like, what? What are we doing? And if you're going to give teams credit for a close loss, then don't you have to deduct points for a close win against a bad team? Like, is beating Texas A&M by 4 at home, is that considered a good win for Alabama? Like, it's just amazing, right? Oh, Bama, they gutted one out against Texas A&M. What grit and fight and determination to hold off the Aggies, who are playing their hearts out because it's Alabama. Okay, well, if you're going to give them credit for that, then you got to give them credit for not doing that against Tennessee. You got to deduct. It's that simple. It's just amazing that everything good that Tennessee accomplished gets washed over while everything bad is magnified, yet losses for Alabama become the celebratory point of emphasis for the college football playoff committee.
What if Georgia just absolutely throttle bleeps LSU by 3-4 touchdowns in the SEC championship game?
Oh, like if they do to LSU what we did to LSU?
Yeah, do you think that?
Well, the problem is, like, Bama, like, it gives Bama credit, and it's going to give us credit too, but it's just, it's the weirdest thing ever.
I mean, if LSU finishes their season.
I'm sorry, I was thinking you said that backwards.
No,
if Georgia
no.
throttles LSU, then they'll say, oh, well, Alabama had to go and play them at night. Like, they'll just move the goalpost again. Oh, Tennessee beat them about that bad, but that was a noon game. Like, that, no one was excited, but Bama had to play them at night, and that's why it was close. Like they'll just continue to do this. They're just going to kick the can down the road to make sure that they credit Alabama, discredit Tennessee, and, I mean, at this point, like, if you had to put all your money in the bank account on it, like, are you picking Georgia to win the national championship? All things being equal, right?
Yeah,
like, no out-of-the-box injuries, nothing crazy. Like, is Georgia your pick?
Yes.
I know we don't even know all the teams that will be in the college football playoff, but it feels like Georgia, again, even with a loss, is going to be guaranteed to be in.
And Blake Corum, you know, the news broke last night that he's going to be done for the year. So.
Oh, yeah. By the way, does Michigan get dropped a spot or two because they lost their star running back? Because Tennessee got punished when Hendon Hooker got hurt. I'm just curious if it works both ways or if they're going to feel sorry for Michigan and make sure that they stay in even if they lose to Purdue or Penn State, as Boo Corrigan said.
The common argument from Michigan fans were, well, losing Blake Corum only is going to affect the spread by a point or two. You guys losing Hendon Hooker will probably affect the spreads going forward by 10 to 14 points.
Well, I mean,
which they're right. They're right, but
because I mean, obviously Hooker's touching the ball every play, but I don't know. I just get angry about the fact that LSU shouldn't even be. It is an argument, but it shouldn't be. We beat them head to head. That's all you need to know.
LSU,
beat Alabama.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's all you need to know.
We beat them head to head, and we have the same win and loss record.
Right.
I will say though,
end of argument.
Get ready for the committee to say, well. You know, we saw Michigan's backup running backs against Ohio State, and they just picked it right up where Blake Corum left off. And they've showed up in the Big Ten championship game as well. Great game on the ground.
Against Purdue.
Yeah. But Joe Milton beating a team 56-0 doesn't count.
Well, it's weird, right? Like, I'm not trying to knock Joe Milton. Like, obviously, I think we all agree. He did not have this amazing game. Of course, it was a downpour. And I agree that the line got adjusted, too, going into that game. I don't know what we would have been favored, had Hooker stayed healthy and we beat South Carolina. It would have been a lot more than 14. We won by 56.
You probably would have been favored by 28 points, maybe
31. And we would have doubled that score and covered. Like, I don't get it.
You are, and you can't dock Milton because he hands the ball off and the guy goes 80 yards.
Yeah, like a lot of opportunities he may have had were taken away because it's a one-play drive for 80 yards and a touchdown.
80-yard runs for touchdowns?
Yeah, an 83 and an 80.
Yeah, so you can't dock him.
Oh, well, he only threw for 150 yards. Yeah, we ran for 360 and we had four drives under 45 seconds that were plays.
He's running the play that was called and he hands the ball off, the guy goes 80 yards.
Man, the way he handed that ball off, though. Jeez whiz. I mean, that's Heisman caliber handoff right there.
He probably broke the guy's ribs because he probably handed it off too hard.
Just slamming it in there.
I'm not losing hope on Tennessee being behind or Tennessee being in front of Alabama when it's all said and done.
I think Brett has a good point, man. Like, that's why they broke him for 80 yards. They didn't want to take more handoffs. It was breaking ribs.
And it's just – what we do. I mean,
no, I'm just saying, like, Milton hits him so hard on the handoff, they're like, I'm just taking this to the house.
Somebody said Walker Merrill still, like, find his way out of underneath the stands because he when threw he it so hard.
Slid in
like
there.
Like a 5-yard pass.
We'll hit a break here, wrap up hour number one. Hour two on deck. It's 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio.